Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, we are getting pumped. We are getting excited. We are getting ready for UnCivil War 13 taking place this weekend at the O'Reilly Family Event Center in Springfield, Missouri. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, weigh in tomorrow night, 7 p.m. cartoons in Springfield, Missouri. I believe that's on Glenstone. So, if you're in town to see the fights, come on out for the weigh-ins tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. It's going to be an exciting time. And then don't forget to show Saturday night starting out at 7 o'clock. The door is going to open around 6 o'clock, so make sure you get your tickets early if you want to catch some of the hard-hitting MMA action brought to you by UnCivil War MMA. Oh, yes. Once again, we're going to be, there's been a couple more changes to the show. So here in a little while, we are going to be running down the card so everybody can kind of get an idea of what's going on. I can't get my email to work. I don't know what to do with. There we go. Now we got the email to work. And also got some big news out of the state of Connecticut we're going to be talking about coming up later on in the show. Got a big firing in basketball we're going to be talking about. Got some in baseball we're going to be passing on some scores. But, you know, it's just a great day, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, let's run down the lines. Let's see what's going on. Afternoon baseball, Tampa Bay and Detroit. Detroit 5-2 on that. Then we got Baltimore and Houston. Orioles 3, Houston Astros 1. Big news coming out of out of the NBA, and it has nothing to do with the NBA playoffs. The Denver Nuggets has fired head coach George Karr after 8.5 seasons. And to really top it off is George Karr was NBA's Coach of the Year. So makes you wondering what is going on in Denver. Like I say, just makes you wonder what's going on in Denver. You know, you get rid of your coach, you get rid, and it'd be one thing if he was a mediocre coach, hadn't accomplished much, but the fact that George Karr was Coach of the Year. I don't know. That's all I can say is I don't know. All right, so that's that. The big news today, there is only one state left as Connecticut becomes the 49th state to legalize MMA. So, how long until New York gets on the bandwagon? I mean, people, what is their major malfunction? Well, I could tell you what their major malfunction is. I mean, it's crazy. You would think they would want MMA in New York. I mean, it's one of the top money-making viewer spectators, sports. So, I mean, it's crazy that they would not want MMA in New York. So, you know, there's one. New York's the only one left. Connecticut, they passed the law. They're now legalized MMA. It's been going on, but now it's just legalized. So now it just makes you wonder how long till MMA in New York joins the good side. So we'll definitely be keeping eyeballs on that. Phone lines are open, 347-326-9073. 347-326-9073. We want to say hello to my friend Clint, XFI, in the chat room. Howdy, y'all. So maybe somebody needs to go to New York and say, get with the program. You are the only state that does not legalize MMA. You know, so somebody just needs to go to New York, shake them upside the head, and say, let's get with the program. So there you go. There's that big news coming today out of the MMA community, that Connecticut has crossed over, and they have now legalized MMA in the state of UConn. All right. NBA playoffs start tonight. No, we don't want baseball. We want NBA. There we go. NBA starts tonight. 8 o'clock Central Time, ABC. The Heat, the Spurs. I'm still calling the Spurs by four. Or not the Spurs. I'm still calling the Heat by four. Because I just do not think that Miami has the horses to run with Miami Heat. Clint, my buddy.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
You know, there ain't a whole lot going on today, man. I had a great day. Took my boy down to the Fort Smith National Historic Site.
Man,
hey, you know, it's one of the greatest. You know, when I was a kid, I never went there. You know, when I was I know I'm still a young adult, but when I was a younger adult, I never went there. But I kind of started, you know, getting interested. My dad was a history teacher for 38 years. He's retired now. And I, you know, I've always been into that sort of stuff, but I took my son down there. My son's almost 13. He's going into junior high. And so I took him down there. And one of the tour guides, I'm not going to name any names because he wasn't supposed to do this, but he let us go inside of the actual court area in Judge Parker's courtroom, and he let us sit in Judge Parker's chair and hold Judge
Wow.
Parker's gavel at Judge Parker's desk. I mean, it was amazing. I put pictures of this on Facebook today. So, you know, it's I got two things I want to throw out there. First of all, New York should be ashamed of themselves, but for more than one reason, you know, for not allowing MMA up there. The second reason is because I don't know if everybody's keeping up with this, but Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks, two of the best wide receivers in the NFL, they're holding out on training camp.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what's going on up there. I've got this my annual fantasy football league started up here. I've got a bunch of buddies jumping in, some guys I knew when I was in the Navy, some guys I grew up with, some guys I worked with. We're all jumping into this league. We did a mock draft today. And then we got it on ESPN2. We're watching ESPN2, and they're talking about Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks aren't even showing up. So I don't know if it's contract related or if they're going to come to an agreement or something like that going on. You know, but right now it's not looking very promising. And the second thing I wanted to throw out there is I think the San Antonio Spurs are going to take this in six games. I don't think the Miami Heat can keep up. I know that Miami's a great organization, but you know, this whole Eastern Conference, they've got nobody that could keep up with Miami. The West does. You know, the only reason why Oklahoma City got beat by Miami last year in the finals was because Oklahoma City is so young and so inexperienced. You know, they can carry themselves all the way through the regular season. They carry themselves a little bit through the postseason. But when it comes down to being a big time, you know, where you want the experience, where you want nobody's got more experience than San Antonio Spurs in the NBA Finals. You know what I mean?
Well, see, and see, I'm thinking just the opposite. I'm thinking the same thing about the Heat. I think the Heat does have the horses, and that San Antonio has the geriatric pool.
I'm not gonna touch that. But I do know that there's guys like Tony Parker and Ginobili, and you know, they're gonna come into this thing. You know, they may be, but you know, what do they say? You know, hey, people have a moment of clarity before they check out. You know, so I think these guys are gonna wake up for the NBA Finals. You know, they slept all season. Nobody saw San Antonio going this far. Nobody did. You know, I mean, perennially, San Antonio.
I didn't even remember
always,
San Antonio having a team.
Well, you know, not a lot of people. Just like Memphis. You know, Memphis slept all the way through the regular season. But, you know, these teams are learning that when eight of you or ten of you go to the playoffs every year, you don't have to be number one. You don't have to run and gun all season. All you got to do is just enough to make – you know, if you've got the guns, you know, to get into the postseason, that's all you need to do is use those guns when you absolutely need them. You know, come in seventh or eighth place. Who cares about winning the, you know, Eastern Conference, South or North, or, well, I don't even know, whatever they got, however they do it. You know, you don't have to be the number one seed in the playoffs. You know, all you got to be is a number seven or a number eight. It's just something close. And then you can blow and go. And really bust a gut all the way through the postseason. And that's what San Antonio did. San Antonio did exactly what they had to do through the regular season. You know, nobody ever kept up with them. Nobody even knew they still existed. And now they're in the NBA Finals. And, you know, I don't think these guys are too old. I think if they were too old, they wouldn't be there. That's kind of
the basic. I don't know what to say.
I'm still, man, I'm calling San Antonio.
I kind of got distracted by choo-choo trains, you know.
Well, that happens, man. I just put a video on Facebook. I just put a video on Facebook of the train, man. We were walking down to the original site where Fort Smith existed, right down by the river, and it was kind of abandoned because there's a story behind this people don't know. You know, the Union soldiers came in and they built – well, I guess everybody was Union in the 1820s. But, you know, the Army soldiers came in and built Fort Smith. They were commissioned to build Fort Smith right off the river to keep the peace between the Osage and the Cherokee nations because they were feuding. The Osage, man, they were in it to win it. And so they put Fort Smith there. And then suddenly they got Fort Smith built, and then they sent – the Army up to Fort Gibson to do the same thing and build Fort Gibson. So as soon as they built Fort Smith, they went straight up the river and built Fort Gibson, and they left Fort
right.
Smith alone, you know? And so now, you know, the original piece of the fort, you know, it wasn't starting to get rebuilt until around the 1850s, early 1860s, when the Civil War was going down. And, you know, the Confederates only fired on Fort Smith one time, and they were defeated in that attempt, and they never tried it again. So, you know, Fort Smith remained part of the Union, and it's just, man, it's such an awesome thing to experience down there, to go down there and see all that, and Judge Parker's hanging gallows, and we went out to the National Cemetery, the Judge Parker's gravesite. I mean, it was amazing today.
You know, I'd be the first to admit, you know, I lived 15 years in Fort Smith. From 75 to 90, I lived in Fort Smith, but I can't remember the last time that I've been to, you know, been to the old courthouse and everything, the gallows and everything. Next time I'm in Fort Smith, I'm going to let Clint be my tour guide and update me on what's been, you know, what's been added, the newer stuff since the last time I was there. Because, like I say, it's been 1990 at least since I've been down there.
Yeah, 23 years, man. It's a long time. You know, there's a lot of great stuff, you know, and people go to the historic site that's right there downtown. You know, they go to the museum, they go to Judge Parker's courthouse, they look at the hanging gallows. But what they don't do is cross the railroad tracks and go straight down to the river. And that's where the original fort stood. The flagpole is still there. The rock foundations to the barracks and the old post and the original garrison, those foundations are still there. You know, the soldiers, they quarried those rocks out of the river, and that's how they built Fort Smith by hand. And nobody crosses the tracks and goes through the trees down that sidewalk, and nobody goes down that trail and looks at that stuff. It's amazing.
I know. I've never, you know, I'll be the first to admit I've never been down there. So it'd be anxious to see what's there that I've never really took the time in the past to look at and check into.
Well, you know, it's free to walk around and look at all that stuff. It costs $4 to go in to look at the old jail. You know, that's where they named it Hell on the Border. I mean, they had hundreds of people down in the basement of that courthouse, and the conditions were terrible. They had a trough to you know, use the facilities in, and there was water rations and hardly any food. It was so hot and sweltering and stinky down there. That's where they named it Hell on the Border, you know, and there's, you know, the first African-American U.S. Marshal, Deputy U.S. Marshal, Bass Reeves. There's a statue of him down there and a big story about him. And then, of course, you've got Judge Parker's actual courtroom. You know, that's where when they filmed the newest True Grit, that's where they filmed it, was right there in Judge Parker's courtroom.
Oh, I know. And I mean, and that's where a lot of people see those movies like that. And it's hard to believe that stuff really existed.
Yeah,
back in the day, if you were an outlaw, you wanted to stay away from Fort Smith.
Definitely, because you know you would hang there.
Yeah, I mean, and once you heard the sound of that gavel, they didn't. I mean, maybe that's where I get a lot of my law philosophy from. That back in the day, you know, once that gavel pounded, you didn't go sit in jail. Once the gavel pounded, they took you right outside to the gallows, and there it was.
Yep. You know, and one thing that people don't know about Judge Parker, you know, he was known as the hanging judge. He sentenced more people to hang, you know, because if they were found guilty by the jury, you know, Judge Parker said one thing about his career. He said, "I never hung anybody. It was just the law." You know, if you were found guilty of a capital offense like rape, murder, things like that, your sentence was to hang. And Judge Parker, more juries in Fort Smith found people guilty of those offenses, which, you know, hey, that's the way it is. And that's why he said, you know, I never hanged anybody. That was just the law. But Judge Parker never attended one single hanging in his entire career.
And that's an interesting fact. I did not even know that.
Yeah, usually you would think, you know, if a judge sentences people to hang, he's going to go watch his imposed sentence be carried out, you know, especially back then when that was the time and the place, you know, but he never did. You know, he was actually opposed to the death penalty as a whole. He was opposed to hangings, but that was the law, and he obeyed it.
Amazing. Good
stuff.
Good Fort Smith. You know, everybody talks about Fort Smith, and you know, there's some fort areas where Fort Smith is lagging, but when it comes to the history, and can you imagine what it's going to be like when they get the new U.S. Marshals Museum built?
Man, they're talking about 2016. That thing will start going up, or actually, it'll be up by 2016, I believe, is what they're talking about. And, you know, that's going to be amazing, because I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to get people not just from this area, not just from maybe the 3 or 4 state area. We're going to get people, you know, from all parts of the country who are going to be coming down just to see the Marshals Museum. That is the U.S. Marshals Museum.
Amazing.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. I was just reading, change subjects here.
All right.
I was just reading that WWE legend, Mid-South legend, where else did he wrestle? Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yes.
Is going to be making an appearance with TCW.
Clarksville, Arkansas. This will not be his first appearance. I met Jake the Snake Roberts in late 2011 in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Beautiful Bobby Eaton was there. Jake the Snake Roberts was there. In fact, I've got pictures on my Facebook of a sign that I made, said Jake the Snake. And one of the TCW cameramen brought his son. And, of course, he was filming around the ring during the wrestling matches. So his son sat by me. I was front row VIP. In fact, I had driven one of the wrestlers up there. That was the day that I had driven beautiful Bobby Eaton to Walmart. And so Jason's son sat next to me, and I took him over to meet Jake the Snake. And I said, hey, I tell you what, if I can get Jake the Snake to autograph my sign, do you want it? And, man, I'm telling you, that made this kid's day. It probably made his year. It probably made a bucket list for him. You know, that was one of the things that he loved to have done. And I walked over to Jake the Snake, and I asked if he'd sign that poster. He took out a Sharpie. He signed Jake the Snake, drew a picture of a snake on it, and gave the kid the poster, and that's how that story went down.
You know, I actually found a picture of me back when I was in junior high school, back when the old Mid-South promotion was running out of Tulsa, Cowboy Bill Watson, the boys.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually found a picture of me wearing one of the original Jake the Snake Roberts T-shirts.
Is that on Facebook?
I do not have that on Facebook. I need to get that on there.
I challenge you to put this on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted.
That's going to be good stuff.
Oh, I mean, that was the day. I'm going to tell a little story about Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert.
Good. Here we go.
By far, one of my favorite professional wrestlers. Eddie Gilbert was the first professional wrestler to break character with me. We were out at the fairgrounds, and this was Harper Stadium. I think they had, I don't even think it had the roof on it yet. I think it was still open air.
Hmm.
And Mid-South was running there on a regular basis. And we're talking the Fabulous Freebirds. We're talking,
yeah,
Dr. Death, Steve Williams. We're talking legendary Sting. I mean, the Fantastics, the Sheepherders. The name goes on. Jim Duggan. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And I was in back, you know, being the traditional junior high kid collecting autographs. Well, Eddie Gilbert just got the dog spot beat out of him by Terry Taylor. And he walks over to me and he says, hey, man, come here. Well, you know, having some respect, I didn't, you know, I kind of bowed up, so what do you want? He says, no, man, come here. Real cool about it. He says, if I give you some money, will you go to the concession stand and grab some Cokes? I'm like, what? He says, yeah. Here's your $25. Go to the concession stand, get one of those trays like the vendors use, and bring some Cokes to the dressing room. I'm like, oh, okay. So sure enough, I go get the tray. I come back, knock on the door. And his dad, Tommy Gilbert, who was a referee for Mid-South,
mm-hmm,
he says, man, what do you want? I says, hey, man, Eddie Gilbert asked me to bring some Cokes. Here they are. Hey. And he yells back, hey, Eddie, there's a kid guy out here with some Cokes. Yeah, Dad, bring him on in. Well, here I am going through the dressing room. And like I say, you got Coco Beware, Eddie Gilbert, Missy Hyatt.
Oh, gosh.
Jack Victory, John Tatum, the Sheep Herders. And then on the other side of the room, they had a thin wall. They had some partitions set up. And then on the other side of the wall, there was Jim Duggan, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, Fantastics, Coco Beware, T. Terry Taylor, Sting, Chris Adams, Fabulous Freebirds. I'm just sitting there like, oh, hell yeah. And what I remember most about that show is Dr. Death Steve Williams beat Jim Cornette's bodyguard. He eventually went on to be known as the Big Boss Man in WWE.
Yeah.
He was the UWF heavyweight champion just the night before in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Steve Williams beat him for the UWF title. And so that was Steve Williams' first day as champion fight wrestling there in Fort Smith. And Michael Hayes, goofier than an outhouse rat. He looks up at me, and you know how that Freebirds had that little funky handshake they did with the knuckles? He walks up to me, sticks his hand up, and I'm like, oh, what the hell? Nah, 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 you know? But, yeah, I mean, such great memories. And then, like I say, I was sitting there wearing my Jake the Snake Roberts, big orange and black letters that said Cruel But Fair, DDT.
That's it.
That was it.
Man, that is, you know, and here's a lot of people don't know this, who the sheep herders actually are.
The Bushwhackers.
The Bushwhackers, Butch and Luke.
Luke and Butch. Hey!
Yep. You know, Bushwhacker Luke has actually made quite a few appearances with TCW.
Yeah. And Bobby Eaton, thoughts and prayers. While I mention it, thoughts and prayers, let's keep them going for Bobby Eaton. He's been in a hospital over at Jonesboro. Apparently had to have a pacemaker put in.
Yeah.
So, you know, thoughts and prayers. Go out to Bobby Eaton. My opinion, probably one of the most underrated tag teams in wrestling. You know, they had their share of success. But
Midnight Express.
The Midnight Express.
You bet.
Sam Lane, Bobby Eaton, and if you want to go back even further than that, Bobby Eaton, Dennis Condre.
That's true.
And if you want to go back even further than that, Dennis Condre, Randy Rose.
You know, a lot of people also don't know that Bobby Eaton is one of the nicest dudes who has ever been in the business. You know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan is the same way, but I'm telling you, Bobby Eaton, when I met Bobby Eaton, I thought, man, this is a big name dude. You know, I don't know what's going to happen here. But when I met beautiful Bobby Eaton, it was, I mean, the dude offered to get me a drink. I mean, and not we weren't at a bar or something. We were at the event. He offered to get me a Coke. I thought, you got to be kidding me. This guy's going to walk over to the concession stand and get me a Coke. I was like, dude, you don't have to get me anything. You're beautiful Bobby Eaton. What are you talking about? It was great. I mean, beautiful Bobby Eaton is one of the nicest guys in the history of professional wrestling.
You know, I have never had a chance to meet Bobby in person. Back in back around 2005, 2006, I had this bright idea that I was going to get the money together and promote a professional wrestling show. So one of the guys I first got a hold of was Bobby Eaton. I don't know how many times we talked to each other on the phone. But, you know, I couldn't get things financially worked out, so needless to say, the show never did take place. But, you know, just a friendly guy to talk to. And I said, you know, who could we get a hold of to also bring in? And he started naming off Ricky Morton. He started naming off The Barbarian. You know, Dr. Death Steve Williams, and this was before Doc went through all of this cancer stuff. He said, you know, call Doc down in Louisiana, you know, bring him in. But, like I say, unfortunately, I hope one day to get to meet Bobby because, Mr. Saturday Night, I've done a lot of stuff with him in the past. Gary Graham, done a lot of stuff with him. Space Cowboy Jason Jones, done stuff with all these guys in the past. And just like you, everybody has always said the same thing about Bobby Eaton, that he is truly just one of the nicest guys that you ever want to meet.
Yeah, you know, the TCW is a promotion that's not like anything else that I've seen in person. You know, and I started out going to these TCW events and selling tickets. It just at the event center in Fort Smith, where not a whole lot of people. I mean, we would get a crowd of 500 there. You know, but I mean, I started meeting like Mr. Saturday Night, Michael Berry. I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but I was the president and CEO of the Perfection Section when Mr. Saturday Night, Michael Berry, and all that Alan Steele were Genetic Perfection with Rich Rude as their manager. And, you know, those two guys are two of the hardest workers that I've seen on the independent scene. They're two of my favorites. Also, you know, guys like Sigmund and the Golden Boy, Greg Anthony. Brian Thompson, one of the announcers. I mean, there's a lot of guys, especially Gary Graham, Roosevelt, man, he's all up in it. Boyd Bradford, the Bradford Exchange, the Bradford family. You know, these guys they're top of the line. There was one guy in the Bradford family, Killer Nichols. Killer Nichols,
right,
is now Knuckles Madsen for what used to be Florida Championship Wrestling, now NXT, which is WWE's farm league or however you want to call that. They're
right.
The minor leagues for WWE. I mean, you know, there's so many people. You know, Chris Masters is coming in. Chris Adonis, he's now coming in and doing TCW shows. And Lance Hoyt is coming in. You know, and they've always got the hardest worker I've ever seen, Tim Storm, the guy who's everywhere all the time. You know,
exactly.
And you can't beat these guys. You just can't beat these guys. It's a show like no other. And unfortunately, I haven't been able to make it to the last few. But there was a time there where I didn't miss a show. I didn't miss a show at all. I didn't care where it was. It could have been here. Could have been Clarksville. Could have been Pine Bluff. And no matter where it was, I was going to be all up in some TCW. Front row, VIP, always and forever. You know, and then one thing led to another. I ended up getting divorced. And there were certain weekends I had my kids. And just one thing led to the next. But you know, I want to get back to a TCW event. Second annual Rumble Riot on Saturday, July the 6th. The bell time is at 6:30. It's going to be in Clarksville, Arkansas. That's where you were talking about meeting Jake the Snake Roberts. Let me tell you what's happened with Jake the Snake. When I met him in late 2011, it was not a good time for Jake the Snake. Jake the Snake had, you know, he's had issues his entire adult life. It just wasn't a good time for Jake the Snake. But he has been living in a completely sober facility at DDP's house, doing DDP yoga. He has lost weight. There's people that have seen Jake the Snake and said, man, he's in better shape than he was when he was in his prime.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people want to get out to this. I think front row VIP for this is $30. VIP second row reserve seating is $20. General admission, $10. The VIP seating front and first and second rows include a 5 p.m. meet and greet and an event poster. You can take it around. All the wrestlers can sign it, including Jake the Snake. This is something people, you know, I can't talk about. Well, I won't talk about this stuff on my show. It's not that I can't, but I'm all about XFI. But, you know, I could do this on your show because you're all about pro wrestling, boxing, MMA, you know, anything that comes along. So I'm glad that I can throw this stuff out there. But Squirrel Man, if you're not doing anything July 6th.
I was just sitting here thinking that, Clint, that you and me, as long as it's not July 20th, because I got a big event July 20th that I'm going to be out of town for. But, yeah, July 3rd, or what did you say the date was?
July 6th.
July 6th. Yeah, right now I don't have anything booked for that weekend. So I'm thinking that the GNC show, Greg and Clint, needs to invade Clarksville, Arkansas, and invade TCW.
I think we should, because honestly, I got my kids the last 2 weeks of June. I don't know if I'll have my kids that weekend. So I'm honestly thinking about making that 45-minute road trip. I mean, it's just 45 minutes to Clarksville. It's going to be the Marvin Vinson Center, which is one of the best places you could ever have an event in Clarksville, Arkansas. It's probably maybe the only place, but it's such a nice venue, and you know, it's so wide open. There's a lot of room, and it's great. So, you know, like I said, front row VIP, $30. VIP second row.
Oh, we're there, buddy. we
20
are
bucks. General admission, 10 bucks. You know, I've done so many. There's a picture of me on Facebook, me and my buddy Jeremy Gaines, and we're wearing balloon helmets. And, you know, you take those balloons, the slender balloons that you can twist into puppets and things like that and animals and stuff, and you turn it into a hat. And we put these balloon helmets on, and when we took that picture, that was in Clarksville, Arkansas. That's how we roll with professional wrestling in Clarksville, Arkansas. We put on a show out there, the fans do, just as much as the wrestlers do. So, I mean, it is totally interactive.
Especially when you get Granny Hulkster around.
Granny Hulkster, my favorite lady ever on the face of the earth.
Shit, that girl, I love her to death.
Man, Granny, it doesn't get better than Granny Hulkster. You know, she's been going through some rough times here. I think she's had she's finally had to retire. And, you know, she's been been with Walmart for about 15 years, and she's had to hang it up. But, you know, I don't know if she's going to be in Clarksville or not, but I'm hoping she gets a chance to be there.
We I got a wheelchair downstairs in my garage.
Yeah,
I mean, we may have to clean the dirt off that thing, and just take Granny Hulkster.
You know, we might have to do that. You know, people around here are familiar with how I am in a TCW crowd, and I always get these chants going, and I got a chant going for the water boy one time. That's how big of a chant I get. And I got a chant going one day for Granny Hulkster, and we were in Fort Smith at the Fort Smith Convention Center, and the whole crowd was chanting Granny Hulkster and doing the clapping and all that stuff. And we had it going on. I like to get the crowd going, get the crowd into things. And, you know, especially at a pro wrestling event where it's that kind of environment, and it can get, you know, rowdy in a good way. And but yeah, I'm telling you, man, if you've never been to a TCW event, any of your listeners and fans out there, if you guys have never been to a TCW wrestling event, you need to make it down to Clarksville for this one. So Saturday, July 6th, bell times at 6:30. It's going to be something you don't want to miss.
I mean, and you know, TCW's got, you know, anytime you can call up Tommy Dreamer and says, hey, come be on our show. You know, Tommy Dreamer is no slouch right there.
Tommy Dreamer is one of the he's, you know, Tommy Dreamer has no problem. You know, I don't know how to say, not really, I guess, putting people over. I mean, he will not just putting people over, putting organizations over. I mean, he added such an element of legitimacy to the scene. I mean, Tommy Dreamer, DDP coming down here and being a part of TCW. You know, now Jake the Snake coming back. I mean, all we need is for Scott Hall to stay on the right track and Scott Hall to come down.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Hall, he's my favorite of all time.
That is probably going to be I just got a funny feeling that is going to be one of the biggest comeback stories right there.
I hope you're right.
I mean, I've been keeping track of Scott Hall's videos, and I mean, I'm just like taking a look at him now and looking at videos from him for five or ten years ago. I mean, the difference is just night and day.
Yeah, he's always been my favorite. He's always been my biggest idol in the wrestling business. And, you know, even to this day when I answer the phone, my dad or somebody will call, and the first thing I'll say is, hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
That's what I say when I answer the phone, you know. And, you know, I emulating everything from crotch chops to hey, yo, and all that stuff. And that's why I've got that hard drive full of – I've got every episode of WCW Monday Nitro ever from 1995 until they stopped in 2001. And my favorite part is going back to July of 1996 and watching the formation of the NWO. I mean, it's just so amazing. From the time Scott Hall came down from the crowd and jumped in the ring and said, you people, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. From that moment,
right,
all the way, you know, after Bash at the Beach, all the way, you know, to, man, with a finger poke of doom with Nash and Hogan. I mean, you know, all that
you know, I actually did that in a match one time.
Oh, my gosh.
I actually did that in a match one time when I was wrestling for WCCW here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And we were having one of our weekly shows every Sunday at our little building that we had. And we were having a tribute to Legends night.
Oh, nice.
So we were, all the wrestlers were doing something to emulate some of the big name wrestlers of the past. And I just looked at the guys and I said, hey, I'm taking a Hogan bump tonight. They're like, what? Sure enough, I get in there working my match. The guy pokes me in the chest, and I just grab the top rope, and I just start falling down.
Well, you know, here's something a lot of people don't remember at one of the – I can't remember if it was on Nitro or if it was on a pay-per-view, but it was when Vince Russo came in, and him and Hogan, you know, they never got along. They never saw eye to eye. And Jeff Jarrett had the title, had the world championship.
Right.
And – he was supposed to face Hulk Hogan that night, per Vince Russo. Well, Jarrett gets in the ring and just falls flat on his back and doesn't fight Hogan. He lets Hogan get down there and pin him, and Hogan was mad because he was not expecting that. I mean, it was a cussing match between Russo and Hogan, screaming at each other from the ramp all the way to the ring, and that was one of those times that was just like, this is when I love professional wrestling is when stuff like that.
Do you remember the night Hogan did the obvious blade job?
Yeah, I do remember that. There was a lot of unnecessary bleeding going on, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and Hogan, he doesn't even bother trying. He gets hit with the chair. He goes to sling himself around, and you see him, he obviously takes his hand across his forehead. And then he just starts bleeding. I'm like, Hulk, can you not hide it a little bit?
Yeah, it was so weird.
That was about the time where those guys were just like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah, they sold it, but you know, there was a part in there where I saw him holding his wrist, and I thought, why is he doing that? And then, all of a sudden, yeah, he runs that dadgum blade across his forehead, and it was so. It was just, oh, man, that was one of the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, I actually caught myself watching the last episode of Nitro, and it was Sting and Flair on the final match, because it was right after that where everybody thought it was going to be Vince coming on saying that he had bought WCW. Well, it turned out to be Shane.
That's right.
Shane O'Mac. Oh, man. God, I remember that like it was yesterday. I tell you the one that scares me, Curtis Angle.
Well, now why does he scare you?
Well, he scares me in a good way. Because everybody knows it's Joe Hennin, who is the son of Mr. Perfect Curt Hennin.
Oh, you're talking about Curtis Axel.
Or Curtis Axel, not Angle,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Curtis Axel.
Okay.
I was actually going through some old pictures I have, and I came across a picture of Curt Hennin at that same age. I had to do a double take.
Yeah.
They look so much alike at the age Curtis Axel is now that I'm sitting there showing it to a friend of mine who was here watching wrestling with me, and I says, yeah, there's no denying that Curt Hennin is his dad.
Well, you know what a lot of people haven't noticed, though, because they, you know, a lot of people aren't familiar, he looks a lot like Larry the Axe, too.
Yeah.
That facial structure. He looks so much like Larry the Axe.
Oh, it's scary.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people are going to look at him and say, you know, this is the guy that was originally packaged as McGillicuddy, so they're not going to give him much credit. But I guarantee you, if this guy, you know, this is one of the better decisions that Vince McMahon has made in the last probably 10 to 15 years, is putting Paul Heyman back on the scene, because, You either love Paul Heyman, you hate Paul Heyman, or you love to hate Paul Heyman. And, you know, people like me, you know, guys that watched, you know, ECW and have gone back and watched every ECW pay-per-view, which I've done, you know, Paul Heyman is one of
Paul
my favorite guys.
Paul Heyman was ECW. Come on.
Oh, absolutely. Paul Heyman gave, you know, just like they talked about on Raw the other night, Paul Heyman gave Chris Jericho his first break.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when a lot of people don't know this, when WCW got rid of the Hollywood Blondes, they cut Steve Austin out of the picture.
Right.
ECW picked him up.
Yep.
You know, he was still injured. Steve Austin was still injured, and they, you know, Paul Heyman knew that he was good on a microphone, and so he put him in a room with an ECW background, gave him a microphone, and said, "Knock yourself out." And that's when Stone Cold started to really fine-tune his craft on that microphone, and then one thing led to another. The WWE picked him up, and the rest is history. He became Stone Cold.
Yeah, but, you know, that's still the one that still gets me, is they originally had envisioned him as being the kind of like the Million Dollar Man character.
Yeah.
But he went to Vince and said, "Hey, this ain't me. I'm not scientific. I'm a good old Austin, Texas boy that would stomp a mud hole with you rather than look at you."
Mm-hmm.
And Vince saw the light at the end of the tunnel somewhere. And I think it's still funny how he came across the character Steve Austin. Because everybody, your real wrestling fans knows his real name is Steve Williams.
Yeah.
Well, at the time he was coming out, there was already Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Yeah.
So at the time, he was hooked up with Chris Adams' ex-o-lady. And they were sitting around the house one day, and you know the Brits, how they like to have their afternoon tea.
That's right.
And it's in his book. He explained it in his book. He says,
it's on one of his DVDs, too.
Yeah, we were sitting around, and she said, you better drink your tea and eat your crumpets or they're going to become stone cold. Boom. He went to Vince.
Yep.
He said, "Hey, here it is. Can I run with it?"
Yeah.
And probably one of the, outside of the Undertaker, Heartbreak Kid, right up there, the top five most successful characters or wrestlers in WWE history.
You bet. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. And it's funny how guys have gone to WWE that hardly ever got looked at by other promotions. Jericho,
right.
Perfect example. He had some success in WCW, but nothing like he has achieved in WWE.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and being the first ever undisputed champion, you know.
Exactly. What is
those
that
guys,
say?
You know, having to wrestle multiple matches in one night to unify the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Championship, and, you know, being the first undisputed ever. I mean, that's a big accolade for Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I want to go. I was looking at this list because I'm always bouncing around wrestling websites and stuff. They put out, I forget which side it was, put out a top 10 of wrestlers that never wrestled in WWE.
Sting.
Sting's number one. Well, let's start at the bottom and go up. Number 10, Magnum T.A.
One of the best of all time.
Oh, man. The belly-to-belly suplex. I mean, when I think Magnum T.A., I think belly-to-belly suplex.
Yeah.
Because he was just smooth and fluid with it. I mean, mm-hmm. you come off the ropes, he gets the arms, he takes you right over with it. I mean, there was an Oriental wrestler on this list, Akira Hakuto.
Hmm.
Or Hakuto. Apparently, she was a true legend in Japan. 17 years old when she made her debut But then she competed in Mexico and did wrestle at WCW, actually defeated Medusa.
For the
WCW women's title, but then you never really heard anything from her after that.
Yep.
But so there's that one. Number 8, Midnight Express. I find that hard to believe that that Midnight Express never wrestled for WWE.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you would think out of all the tag titles that they won, but none of them was with the WWE.
Wow.
So that was number 8. Number 7, the Sinister Minister, Jim Mitchell. Everybody remembers him the most, with Abyss. Father James Mitchell, yeah. Was never in WWE.
Wow.
There's one guy on this list that I could have swore wrestled for WWE. I may be wrong. He's number 6, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, was he not scary? When he steps into that ring and he's setting you up for that Russian sickle, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, that guy, he was a beast, you know. Just a beast.
Number 5. And this is a guy I actually enjoyed watching. Vampiro.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, he just screams hardcore, insane wrestling.
Yep.
So he comes in at number 5. Now, New Jack.
Oh, God, what an idiot. What an idiot.
Wow.
You know, you could tell stories about New Jack. There was one... there was one match in particular where I can't remember who he was wrestling. New Jack was wrestling an older guy. I think it was Gypsy Joe. Gypsy Joe and New Jack at a little small time. You know, I think Gypsy Joe was like 80 years old when this happened. And he was supposed to put him over a little bit. Gypsy Joe was supposed to put New Jack over, and Gypsy Joe didn't lay down for the fight, and New Jack got pissed off. And New Jack starts pulling things out from underneath the ring, and just, I mean, he literally beat this man almost half to death.
Oh. New Jack's an idiot. any guy who will get in a internet, what's the word I'm looking for? Any guy that'll get in an internet argument with other wrestlers, it's like, come on, dude, get real.
Right. Yeah, it was. All right. It was so bad this match. In fact, I just found it on YouTube. I don't know if anybody. A New Jack versus Gypsy Joe. It's listed under the most shocking pro wrestling match ever.
I saw one on there that to this day I still was Vader and Stan Hansen bull rope match.
Oh boy!
Stan Hansen co-cocks Vader, knocks his eye out. I mean, Vader's eye is sitting there hanging. So Vader just pops it back in his head and keeps wrestling. That is when I said, matter of fact, I was telling my dad about it. I said, I knew Vader was always tough, but that just solidified it in my book. Anytime your eye is literally hanging there and you just grab it and pop it back in the eye socket and continue wrestling, oh, yeah, that's toughness right there.
Definitely.
Number 3 on the list, and this guy was another one of my favorite, Great Muta.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Oh, man, the battles between him and Sting.
Yep.
I mean,
I'm down with that.
Now, here's the one that surprised me, because I could have swore that this guy had wrestled for WWE, but I guess I was wrong. Abdullah the Butcher.
Wow, really?
But it says here, number two greatest wrestler never to wrestle for WWE.
No kidding. I didn't know that. Well, isn't he in the WWE
Hall
of
Fame? Yeah.
Well, what in the world?
But yeah, that's the one that shocked me right there, because I could have swore Abdu had wrestled for WWE.
Wow.
But then, like you say, the number one on the list, never to wrestle for WWE, and everybody knows it, and everybody knows why. If they've seen his video, he tells why, and that is Sting. Number one greatest wrestler. Because he sits right there and he says he saw what they were doing with the other guys that did go immediately to WWE, and he just wasn't going to put himself through that. He had worked too hard to get where he was just to be shuffled under the rug.
Well, you know, there was an interview Sting just did, talking about losing at Slammiversary here last weekend to Bully Ray. The rumors about facing The Undertaker at WrestleMania 27 and how close he was to going to WWE when WCW closed down. And he said he always described the day they shut down as being surreal and very tough to swallow. He said, I had 18 months left on my WCW contract that AOL had to honor. And there was never any conversation at that time to go to WWE. He said the first time he talked to the WWE was 5 years after the fact, which would be 2006. He said Vince McMahon called me. We talked for a week, and it was very, very close. He said that was the time I decided to make one final run, and I decided to make it with TNA. You know, he knew then that he was not going to get a fair shake. He was not going to get a big push in the WWE, because that's when they had phased Hogan out after 2003, 2004, somewhere in there, and completely did away with the whole NWO angle that they brought back in 2002. And, you know, Ric Flair was kind of still doing it. You know, Evolution was big, things like that. But
right.
He knew that he wasn't going to get a shot. He wasn't going to get to do what he wanted to do. And guys like him and Hogan, they still want to be a big-time part of the wrestling business, and TNA is the place for that.
Right. And that's what's sad is, you know, I forget who it was I was talking to. I can't pull the name off the top of my head. But me and him were both to the agreement that Vince is just the kind of guy that, unless he sees potential in you, unless you're one of his creations, you're not getting a push.
What's like bringing Kevin Nash back in? You know, he brings back Big Daddy Diesel at the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago. He signs Kevin Nash to a Legends deal. He lured him back away from TNA to sign back with WWE, and now suddenly, where the hell is Kevin Nash? We haven't seen Kevin Nash in I don't know how long. You know, Sting didn't want that.
Exactly. Yeah, but you know, I mean, Sting. I mean. Oh, yeah. I mean, I could sit there. I could watch Sting and Flair. Oh, my God.
Some of the best
I mean,
ever.
Sting and Flair, Sting and Muta. I mean, I could sit there and watch them matches all day. Well, Clint, my brother, we got a minute left. Once again, it's been a blast. I love having you on the show. And like I say, between now and July, if nothing comes up, yeah, we're invading Clarksville.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's make a plan. All right, hey man, I really appreciate this. I never mean to take up all your time, but I'm glad you keep me on this long. So it makes me feel good there.
hey man, we just stuff we love talking about. And that's what this show's about.
That's true. I appreciate it very, very much. Hit your sponsors and all your fans out there. July 6th down in Clarksville, Arkansas. Man, hit up some TCW wrestling. So, Squirrel, I will listen to you tomorrow, my friend. I've got a show tomorrow as well. And it's not going to be at noon. It's going to be a little bit later, maybe about 3 o'clock. So, if I don't put anything on Facebook, be looking for a playback, and I will talk to you later.
All right, my brother. You check out Clint, XFI Live around 3 o'clock tomorrow. Check it out. Don't forget, we're going to be coming to you live from the weigh-ins tomorrow night. We will not be on at 4. We're going to be on live during the weigh-ins tomorrow night in Springfield, Missouri, Uncivil War MMA. So we will talk to you later. So long.